Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to all of you out there in radio land. This is, again, Word Outreach International, which is a derivative of the Days of Harvest Ministries. It's our media outreach. And we just want to shout a good morning to all of you who listen and those who will listen in the archives. God bless you today. We are excited again to be back with you on another broadcast. And I tell you, we were so fired up last week about what God did. Until now, we wanted to have Pastor Kenneth Robinson, who is our guest again today, back with us. Pastor Robinson, are you there, sir?
Good morning. Yes, I am, Pastor Robinson, out there in Texas. Good morning to those in Texas and in radio land. Good morning to those that are around the world. God bless you. It's a blessing to be back among you guys again.
Amen.
How we doing, Doctor?
Pastor Robinson, blessed of the Lord. It's a sunny day in Allen, Texas. What does it look like out there in Dothan, Alabama? I think the last time that I talked with you, you were telling me that you were having storm threats or something in that area.
Well, what we got today is partly sunny. It's going to be high around 87, low around 66 degrees. So it's a beautiful day out here today.
Beautiful day. Well, the psalmist said, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice, even if it's cloudy, and be glad in it. Amen. You know, the Philippians, Philemon 6 says that the communications of our faith may become effectual by acknowledging every good thing that's in us. We're going to release our faith today. We're releasing our faith in this broadcast by confessing this to be the greatest day of our lives. This is the greatest day. I came to tell you that today. Of your life, as you're listening to this broadcast today, this is the greatest day of your life. Why? Because this is the day that the Lord hath made. And we, you and I, we are going to shout, we are going to rejoice, and be glad in it. Praise God. Amen. Last week, Pastor, you fired me up so until I said I wanted to just get you back into the broadcast. You motivated me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen to the things that God had spoken through you. And we talked about from the question, can we change the mind of God, of Yahweh, God Almighty, and some would say Jehovah, can we change his mind as believers?
Before
and Pastor,
last week, you
went to answer that question for us, and I want you to just elaborate a little bit on some of the things that you shared, because they were highly important as we began to go into that segment. You started off by telling us a little bit about the first appearance of what you were reading concerning, I believe, Moses. Was it Moses?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Pastor. What I wanted to, you know, who answered that question, let's go to the Word of God. The Word of God can speak more clearly than I can ever speak.
Right.
And in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, you will find the story, a very familiar passage of story of Moses in the mountain, and he had been up there, my perhaps maybe over 40 days or more, and the children of Israel gotten Aaron to make a golden calf. We don't know where Moses is. He probably, we don't know where he is. We ain't heard nothing from him. We ain't seen him. And God ain't talked to us, so we're going to make us a god. And they convinced Aaron, and he did. You know, he broke off the earrings of the boys and the girls, and everybody had earrings in their ears, and he mowed a golden calf. Well, why they doing this? God see what they're doing in verse number 9 in chapter 32 of the book of Exodus. Say, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people.
Right.
And God said to Moses, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them. Now, that's kind of, you know, people say they get hot. That's going to be some power. Then he went further to say that I may consume them. And, you know, when you consume something, you're going to destroy it. I mean, I don't know about you, but when you consume your favorite food or whatever, it's destroyed.
Yes,
and
sir.
And then he told Moses, I will make you a great nation. But then Moses reminded God. He said, now, Lord, can't bring any people out here. You getting mad, you see folks. You brought them out of the land of Egypt with your great power. Now you're going to destroy them? See what the Egyptians are going to say. You brought them out here to consume them. And then Moses reminded God of his promise. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swore by thy own self. See, God couldn't swear by nobody greater than himself. He said, God swore by himself, that I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and all the land that I've spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. He reminded God of his promise. And this is verse 14. Can we change the mind of God? Listen to this. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And that word repentance is a geographical term, means to change direction, his mind, to turn, to regret what he had said. And that was because... Go ahead, Pastor.
You know that rattles me because just to have the very... I'm looking at the scenario. I'm looking at the very, very platform and the area of conference and dialogue that's taking place between a man and God Almighty Himself.
And
this man, this man is approaching the God of the universe, the creator of all things. And he says to him, hold on just a minute. Why, it's like you and I are talking, and I say, hold on just a minute, Pastor Robinson, do you remember? And they are talking as if, and this is the thing that I'm looking at, that most people have a problem with, that they don't feel that the God of the universe, the creator of the ends of the world, that they can have this type of relationship with him, so much so that they can dialogue with him on this premise.
Now, if they having a problem with Moses, how about going to Isaiah chapter 38?
Okay. Well, let's talk about Moses for a minute. Before we go to Isaiah chapter 38, let's talk about Moses just for a minute. Moses is bringing God into remembrance.
That's right.
Now, first of all, he made a promise to the Lord. God made a promise to him, and when he said he was going to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. But my point to this is that most people don't feel that they can have this type of relationship with the Lord, so much so that they can dialogue with him on this premise. In other words, they can say to him, okay, do you remember what you said?
You got to that has already been established from the foundation of the world. God has always dialogued with his people. God has always wanted to communicate with his people. And he left it open. He called it prayer.
Right.
When you pray, you communicate with God. It's not the first time that God has spoken to the hearts and minds of his people. And that's one of the things that the children of Israel had a problem with Moses was. They felt like if God can speak to Moses, they can speak to them.
Right. And he did.
And he did. Oh, yes, he did. And when he spoke to them, they said, we don't want to hear him no more, Moses. We want to hear you.
Exactly.
You know? So
yes.
You and I have been blessed, children of the living God, that we could communicate with our Father.
Exactly.
He has made the way open to us that we can talk to him.
Exactly. And that's my point. My point is that the Lord has given us access to him so that we can...
Oh, Lord.
Yes, access. And I think that most people have neglected the fact that they have that type of access to him and him alone without him being critical to them. That's what I'm talking about. Because we've been told, remember, when I was a little boy, I was told that you know, when you're talking to the Lord, that has to be, and don't misunderstand me, I do not say that we don't have reverence, but there has to be strict reverence. There has to be things that, said, in other words, it's like having an audience with the President of the United States. We have to go through all this protocol. But this is not the case here with Moses. He's directly talking to the Lord without all of these stipulations, if you will. And so what I'm saying is that most people don't feel that they have this type of platform or this access to the Lord where they can talk to him. And, well, you know what, we'll get on about that. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, and let's see what you were talking about when you said let's go to the book of Isaiah, because there's a point that that's resonating in my heart concerning our communications here.
Yes, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And what's so excited about it is that God does hear your prayers. You don't have to be a Moses. And we're going to show you later on, you don't even have to be an Israelite.
Right.
Oh, the Jews. But look here. Very familiar passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 38.
Excuse me.
Very familiar story. Now, this king was in a lot of trouble. The Assyrians were going to take over his country, wipe him out and everything. But in those days, he was sick unto death.
Okay.
And Isaiah, the prophet, came unto him and said, thus said the Lord, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Look, go get your stuff together, get your will together. See who's going to be over this state. Who's going to take care of this? How you know, where your money going to go? Set your house in order.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
This man, God was telling him, you finna die. Get everything right. You know how it is with us. If God tell us, and we know we finna die, we bring all the children around the bed, and you know, we bring the lawyer in, and we set our house in order, you know?
Exactly.
Because we're not going to be here to see things out. The kingdom is getting ready to be taken over by the Assyrians, so you got to let your generals know, you know, how you want to do, how things should be carried out, because you're not going to be here. You're finna go.
Right.
But this man, not a Moses, the Bible said Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he had something in common with Moses. He reminded God of his promise. He said, Lord, remember now, Lord, I beseech thee, how I walk before you in truth and with a perfect heart. I have done that which is good in thy sight. And then the Bible said he wept. Very much. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening. He wept after he made the statement.
He reminded God. My sisters and brothers, remind God of what he promised you. Remind him of what his word said to you. Remind God of what you have done concerning him and your relationship with your God. And then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah. He could have easily spoken to Hezekiah, but God used a man, just like he's using Pastor Robinson and I this morning to speak to you. If you would listen, he said, listen, you go back and you say to Hezekiah, thus said the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I'm going to add unto thy days. Now, you was already at the deathbed, but I changed my mind. You're not going to die now. You're going to live 15 more years. Not only that, but I'm going to deliver you and this city out of the hands of the king of Syria, and I will defend this city. Now, God done said I'm going to have the city destroyed, but God changed his mind about even that.
Right. You know, there are two things that stick out to me in this story about Hezekiah. And one of the things that sticks out to me more than anything, Pastor Robinson, is the fact that Hezekiah reminded the Lord of the things that he did concerning the kingdom, which is, we know that he, through history, we know that he tore down all of the altars and all of the idols and all of the sacrifices that were being displayed in the camp of the children of Israel. And he, the Bible says he destroyed it and tore it down and built up new altars and did what God said concerning the sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing that I look at is when you were sharing about him bringing God into remembrance, is that he said, Lord, I tell you what, now if this is true, first of all, we're looking at the scenario with Moses when he speaks face to face with God, either one on one, and God addresses him on the priestly side. Here is King Hezekiah, but yet he has to be talked to again by the prophet. And what I'm looking at is, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but the Lord had to also verify with the prophet that gave the announcement that what he had said to the king was reversed. So it was a confirmation of two people having the assurance that what God had said was true, that the truth be established out the mouth of two or three witnesses. And I know that the Lord would not go back on his protocol in the earth. If he sent a man to tell him that, he would also send a man to also reverse what he said to him.
Exactly. It's right.
Now, if that's the case, excuse me, then Hezekiah said, okay, I don't even want to hear what the man had to say about it. He said, I want to see a sign. You know, some people want to see a sign, Pastor.
Yeah.
They don't care what you said. They don't care what I said. They said, you know what? I heard what you said. They said, but I want to see a sign. Can you give me a sign? And the Lord had spoken. Do you know what the sign? You remember the sign, right?
You know, I was getting ready to say now, if you don't believe Pastor Robinson and myself, then God will let you know.
Yes, he will.
That he will change his mind like he did with Hezekiah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so he said, you know, let the sundial. Let the set of the sun go back 15 degrees or how many degrees it was.
10 degrees. Huh?
How many?
10.
10 degrees. Let it go back. And we know the story. The Lord did. Now, this is for one man. You know, some people don't think that they're important enough.
See, what I love about it, and the Lord said, I will do this thing. I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord would do this thing that he has spoken.
Yes. Well, he reminds me of another preacher in the Bible, Pastor Robinson, who says, Lord, look, you know, sometimes we need a little bit more grace. We need a little bit more time. And this particular preacher, and it doesn't always have to be a preacher. It can be anybody. But this man says to the Lord, this man who's by the name at this time called Joshua, says, look, I'm fighting in a situation here, and I need more time. I know I have the victory, but I need more time. And the Bible says that the Lord held back a whole day on his behalf.
Yes.
So I'm trying to understand. Yeah. So what I'm trying to understand here, Pastor Robinson, is that this is just one person. Now these are personalities that are getting to the mind of God.
And God is changing his mind regarding their circumstances, because he said Hezekiah wrote it in his book of the sickness that he had recovered.
Right.
It's written in the book of Hezekiah when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness.
Yes. Lord have mercy. So Isaiah the prophet records that he did recover, and God gave him 15 more years. As a matter of fact, from what we understand, God gave him a son out of that, Manasseh, and his old age.
Hey,
you talked a little bit about the Jonah last week.
Yes, you know what I'm excited about Jonah is that these people who God sent Jonah to was not even Israelite.
Okay.
Matter of fact, the king of Syria had went down to Nineveh. Nineveh, these people didn't have. God sent Jonah to a people that was heathens.
That were.
And God said, I'm going to destroy them unless they repent.
Okay.
The Lord said, you go down there and you tell them, rise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto them that I bid thee. And Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And when he preached to them, he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now listen to a people that was not even an Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
So the people of Nineveh believed God. Now, there anyone listening in the radio audience and around the world that dared to believe God when he said something? They believed that God was going to overthrow them and they were going to be destroyed. So what did they do? They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth. Oh, now you know that's uncomfortable. A burlap sack. From the greatest of them unto the least of them.
And the Bible said they even got the cattle and the dogs and the cats. And
The people of Nineveh believe God. That's what we're trying to look. You got to believe God.
Okay.
And so they got in sackcloth. The king of Nineveh, he rose when he got off his throne. He laid his robe from his side. He covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes.
Yeah.
Time of mourning. And then he called a proclamation and published it throughout all Nineveh. Came from the kings and noble, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let the man and his beast be covered with sackcloth. And he said, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every man from his evil ways, from the violence that is in their hand. And this is what I love. The king, in his proclamation, he said, who can tell if God will turn and change his mind. And turn away from his furious anger, that we perish not.
Who can tell?
Now, you know, brother, who can tell? Faith without work is what?
Dead.
They believe, and they went
to
work. Did. And God saw their works. God saw the works of healing. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. Now, you know that Hezekiah, look at the example that he gives us. The first one of Moses, the children of Israel, Moses stood in the gap for them and changed God's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Hezekiah stood in the gap for himself.
Right.
And changed God's mind. Here was a people that was unbelievers, but they were converted and believed God. They turned themselves around, and it changed God's mind. And the Bible said in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. Listen, not evil ways, their evil way. And God repented. God changed
God
his mind the evil that he had
said he
said
was going to do to them.
And he did it not.
You know, Pastor, that excites me for this simple fact.
Yes, sir.
You know, when we talked about last week also, the very, very, very first time that I believe that this type of reasoning went into action, as you were talking about the children of Israel, and you talked about Moses, you talked about Hezekiah, you talked about Jonah, and you're saying here, and every time we see the scriptures declaring that God, the Bible says he turned, they turned from their evil way, and God repented, or he turned also, he changed of the evil that he said that he would do to unto them. And it excited me, because when you were talking, when you brought all of these scenarios up, when you brought up all of these passages of scripture, when you brought up all of these incidents where God, the Lord, repented of the evil. And we understand that God is not evil. And we know that he's not, there's no evil in him. There's no darkness in him.
Yeah.
But of the fact that he said he would do a thing, and then he turns around and says, because you petitioned me, I'm changing my mind. And the reason why I wanted to talk about that again this week is because of the very country that we live in, called this United States of America. Now, the reason why I'm bringing it up is because, you know, last week I also went back to the 18th chapter of Genesis. And we see a man there by the name of Abraham. Can we go there, Pastor? Is that okay? Will you finish with the Ninevites? Or should we stay there and talk about them a little bit more before we go back to...
I just want to put emphasis on the fact that they was not Israelites. Because
that's exactly right.
They have the tendency to think, well, God just did that for his people.
Mm-hmm.
But these were not the ones of chosen of God.
Yes.
They were people that dared to believe. And they went to work. They took their faith and they went to work. Faith without works is dead. You've got to believe. If you believe, according to the scriptures, and if God did it for the Ninevites, so don't go back and talk to me that Moses and that was Isaiah, he prophet. No. These people was not of what we call the chosen ones.
Okay. You know, as a matter of fact, Pastor, they were the ones who, if we go back in history and we find that they were the ones who, the reason why Jonah ran and fled to those areas of going to Tarshish is because he didn't want to go back to Nineveh. He didn't want to go back. He didn't want to deal with them because they had killed his forefathers. They slew his forefathers. They knew about the Egypt. They knew about the Israelites. They knew the God of the Israelites and his wrath, and they heard about what he would do to nations. But yet they killed his people, and he felt like, and I guess it would be like you and me, if the Lord would told us, and watch what I'm getting ready to say about this. Well, he says, you know, I want you to go back and tell your slave masters that I love them. You find what I'm saying if we were. Well, and we could go back and say, well, Lord, they hung our forefathers. They raped our. Does that sound about like.
They need
if
to be
I can use that example.
Yeah, they don't need to be. They need to be loved. Yeah, I'm following you. They need to be forgiven too.
Yeah. But my point is, this is why he was fleeing. And they knew, my point is, they knew about the God of Israel, but yet they were heathens, and they had no dealings with him on the basis, as you shared, as the believers of the Israelites at that particular time, who were the model nation that we should pattern after. So they didn't have, as you were saying, they didn't have the relationship, per se, as the Israelites had, as being God's chosen people. They were just heathenistic people, and who had no idea. Notice what you shared in the passage. They said, "If he would, can we tell if he would turn and repent?"
Who can tell if God will turn and repent and change his mind?
Who can tell? From his fierce anger.
Preach to the folks in the street, man. Preach it to those people who are unbelievers.
Right.
And tell them, look, unless you change your ways, the wrath of God is coming on your house. Who can tell if God is not going to repent and change his mind and go save that prostitute, that pimp, that hooker, that drug dealer, that unbeliever? And then if that person believes, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you, Pastor, myself, and other ministers around the world are sharing, if they believe and repent at the preaching of the gospel.
Yes.
Who can tell?
Who can tell? So this is not just for a believing nation.
Yes, and God
will not just
faith.
Change his mind for
God
a believing nation.
He see their faith. He see their works. He see that woman that has been out there, that man has been out there, who said, God can't do anything for me.
Right.
Yes, he can. If you believe, he can turn your life around. He can put you in the right direction. And the evil that you thought would come upon you, God would take it all away. Who wouldn't serve a God like that?
Yeah, who wouldn't serve a God like that? I mean, you know, that's awesome.
Yes,
sir.
We was on that road, Doc. We was going down that dark road till we heard the preaching of the gospel.
Exactly.
We were the preaching.
Right.
They said they repented at the preaching of Jonah.
Yes, they did.
And Jesus said, greater than Jonah is here.
Yeah. So they changed their mind, and the Lord changed his mind.
Because of their works.
Because of their belief.
That's right. They believed. The Bible said that God saw their works.
Wow.
That they turned from their evil way. And then God changed his mind, that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not.
So they didn't just say that they were going to change. They showed their change by their works.
Faith without work is dead.
Faith without work
is dead.
You're
going to say you're going to live for God. Don't talk it.
Don't talk it.
Do it.
Do it. Do it.
And then God going to do
he is
what he going to do.
Right.
He's not like us, Dr. Robertson. He's not like us. We are like Jonah. What they've done.
Are you saying the preachers are still running today?
they still want to sit out on there and get mad with the tree, the circumstances and everything else. And God has gone on, it's time to move on. Preaching too long. You see God raising people up. Man, God could have killed. He should have killed him. He should have killed him. He should have killed him. No.
Isn't that something?
Change God's mind. You can do it. Those are listening to the radio audience, you can do it.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
you can
right.
be mad and running and ripping and doing your thing, and you think God can't forgive you. You think God won't forgive you? You think God won't make things right for you? Yes, he will.
Mm-hmm.
If he did
he
for
will.
Him, he will do it. So, yes, my sisters and brothers, you can change God's mind by changing your ways, by believing the gospel, turning from your evil way, and watch God do what he promised he'll do. You might not be like the Ninevites. You might be a Christian. You might be living for God like Hezekiah. And things come upon you, sickness and diseases, and you're finna die. You got one foot in the grave, another foot on a banana peel. But you remember, and you remind God of how you had trusted him and how you had believed in him and how you had lived for him. And then God sees a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and you tell God about it and watch God change his mind about you. You don't have to wait to be a church full of folks, a stiff-necked people, a whole nation like this country. You ain't even got to turn in this country, but the preachers can turn God in favor of this country, even though the people may be stiff-necked and rebellious and carrying on their foolishness, but we can stand in a gap like Moses and remind God of his promises to his people and watch God change his mind about a nation. It's a
wow.
thing, man.
It is a beautiful thing, and I'm glad that you're reaching out to radio land and the people that are hearing this, that God is not an author of confusion or either destruction, as Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. He says, "For I know the thoughts," he said, "that I have to you," said the Lord, "they're thoughts of good and not of evil, and
Lord,
thoughts to give you an expect to prosper you and to give you an expected end, or to give you a future and a hope." And he said, "I'm not here to destroy you. I'm not here to wipe you out. I'm here to give you a future. I'm here to give you hope. I'm here to give you. This is my thought," he said, concerning you.
Oh,
I'm glad you said that, because John 10:10 says, "For the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy."
Yeah.
But Jesus said, "I've come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." That's what the New Testament says about the thoughts. That we think with, I know a lot of people out there in radio land are thinking that God is angry at them and that there's no hope for them, and that he won't change his mind about their situation. They've done so many things wrong. They've done so many things evil, and that it's just no hope for them. But what you're saying today is that there's hope for people. God will change his mind if they will turn from their wicked ways and turn from their evilness and their evil doings and just remember and seek his face. You know, the scripture goes on to tell us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, "If my people, which are called," what you're saying here, they don't even have to be his people. But he said, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways," he said, "then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal the land. And, Pastor, I just want to tell you, I want our land healed because every time I eat an apple, I don't get all the nutrition I used to get out of it.
we have to remind the people in Radio Land, when you know to do right, do right.
Do right.
Don't get caught up in a David situation.
Right.
Don't get caught up in that, and then when the prophet comes and exposes you and call you out, and then you want to pray for the baby that you conceived, conception, and sin.
Right.
Because God has a way of letting you know you're not going to get away. You may get by, but you won't get away. Don't get caught up like David. David knew better. And you know better. There are people out there listening. They know better. So we try to tempt God, trying to be slick.
Right.
Because when David prayed and got inside clauses that the child that Bathsheba was barren would live, the child didn't live. Not that child.
Right.
But the next child. You see? The next child became King Solomon. So God got a way of dealing with people, individuals. He know your heart. He know your mind. He know your thoughts. So you can't try to be slick with God. Not when he know you, because he created you. So be honest with God.
Yes.
Be honest. Like Moses was honest. He knew the promises that God made. Hezekiah was honest with God.
Yes.
He didn't try to be a slickster like David.
Mm-hmm.
A man after God's own heart, David was. So
right.
God knows you. He knows you. Those that are listening, God knows you. So don't come back at me and say, well, God didn't do this. And God. Listen, what did you do? And David still changed God's mind because he raised up a king under him, most loved, likely in our eyes, would ever be king. So he took a bad situation and turned it into a good.
And so what you're saying today is that God can take what we've seemingly made a great mess out of.
What you talking about?
And make it a message.
Yes, sir.
Well, well, well. Pastor, you know, why are you on that? Why don't you just pray, you know, right now, where we are, I just sense in my spirit that somebody today, glory to God, is in that place where you just talked about. And would you just take a few moments right here before we go into the next part of this, just reach out and pray for them and believe God with, I will believe God with you that God will minister to them in that you brought that up on that level. And I feel people being delivered today, but I just believe that if you pray the prayer of faith for them, that God will deliver them according to your word. I just believe that. Would you do that for me, Pastor?
Yes, sir. Father, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who listen at the sound of my voice, who have experienced a David-like experience, and yet, God, it seems as if things have gone wrong. But we pray, Father God, that you work it out for their good and show them that you're still God and that you're loving God and that you're caring God and that you're forgiving God. And bring peace in that house. Bring peace in their hearts. And let them know that you have not forgotten them nor forsaken them.
Yes.
God, show your love that is greater than any man.
Yes.
And God will be so careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. God, for you said every house is built by some man, but he that biddeth all things is God. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, there you are out there in Radio Land. If you heard that today and you know that the Lord is tugging at your heart and Pastor Robinson has prayed for you and reached out to the throne on your behalf, as it was even when Moses dealt with God about the children of Israel. And here it is, the prophet Jonah, who deals with the Ninevites, who are not even God's selected people. And yet these guys are interceding on the behalf of people, and God changes. And I want to tell you today, as Pastor Robinson has so eloquently said, God is not angry at you in the reflection of the fact that he wants to destroy you. It is his desire in every incident that Pastor Robinson has brought up this morning, that God's desire was not to destroy, but to keep life. And we want to tell you today, we came to tell you today, that God is not angry at you, whether the fact that he will not change concerning you, even though there may be death may be stalking you, life may be trying to destroy you for the last day. But we want to tell you today that the God of life, Pastor Robinson and I came to tell you that that this very God that we are talking about is not willing that you should perish, but that you should come to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is that he loves you and he wants you to live. The truth is that he's not angry at you, but he wants you to live. The truth is that it doesn't matter if you didn't keep your promise. He'll keep his if you will just change. Somebody says, I'm unfaithful, but he's faithful. Somebody says, but I've been unjust, but he's just. Somebody says, I've been unmerciful, but he's merciful. Somebody says, I haven't shown grace, but he's graceful. So we want to tell you today that he's willing. He's willing today. And I can see him with his arms stretched out, calling you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Calling you.
Amen.
Calling you
Thank
back
you,
home.
Lord.
Calling you to that place. And Lord, we want to agree with you today. We want to agree with you that you need to go back home, those of you who have once been home and left, and those of you who have never had an experience with him. We want you to know today that he is God and he wants you greater and more than you desire to be wanted. Amen. Pastor, that is, you've touched my heart.
You just ministered to a whole lot of people, brother. You just spoke to a whole lot of sisters and brothers who have been hurting and who needed to know that God still loved them in spite of Jesus is the greatest thing that ever happened to us, man. God so loved the world that he gave
his
begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I love that other verse of scripture that says, but God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world,
right,
but that the world through him might be saved.
Yes.
And what greater love than this? Jesus loves us more than we love ourselves.
Yes.
And I'm to God be the glory. Thank God for Jesus, man.
Yes.
Care about
and
me,
I love
you. That's a beautiful thing. And wow.
You know, Pastor, I love you because you have a heart for the people. And I'm hearing things in the spirit right now. I'm hearing, you know, what we've just shared, the power of the word, just what you just shared a few minutes ago. And I'm hearing God calling preachers back. There are some Jonas today. There are some Jonas out there.
Oh,
and you've been running. And God is telling me, and you're thinking that, you know, God won't accept me back and God won't take me back and you don't know my circumstances and you don't know my situation. But I want to tell you, all you Jonas out there today, that God is not angry at you in the reflection that he wants to get rid of you. Pastor Robinson and I have come today in this forum to let you know that God is still the same as he changed as he allowed Jonah to go and complete his mission. He wants to do the same thing for you, Pastor. He wants to do the same thing mm-hmm. for you, Evangelist. He wants to do the same thing for you, prophet. He wants to do the same thing for you, apostle. He wants to do the same thing for you, teacher. He wants to do that. He has not changed. If you have run, if you've been on the run and you feel like that God can't use you anymore, we came to tell you today, good gospel news, that he loves you. That he loves you.
Yes.
Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.
Yes, he does. Man, I'm telling you, my sisters and brothers, we are the last defense you ministers of the gospel, apostles, yes, teachers, evangelists, pastors. You are the last defense. And we want to encourage you today. We want to encourage you today to take that stand in the gap, cry for the nation and for your people, for yes, God's people, and let God use you, for he has called and chosen you for such a time as this, that you can be the one that God has rest assured upon for a point in time to bring his people to rest. Because there is a rest to the people of God. And you may be the one. So be encouraged. Pick back up your sword and your banner. Go on back out on the battlefield. Shake the dust off of your feet. It's harvest time. Amen. And let us rejoice and be glad in this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. My God, it's going to be a great day of reckoning. Amen. When Jesus come back, it's going to be a great time. So let us do what we got to do. As I often said, let's do what we were born to do and let God handle the rest.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the prophetic utterance from Pastor Robinson. As he said, pick up your sword. Pick up your sword today. Don't. Lift up those hands, as the Hebrew writer said, that hang down. And what is the other part of that scripture, Pastor Robinson? And what did he say? Lift up those hands that hang down? The feeble what?
Let me see here. I'm looking at it. I just thought I just seen it.
In Hebrews.
Yeah, I'm in the Hebrews.
Yes, lift them up today. God gave a prophetic utterance to Pastor Robinson, as you said. He lift up. Look, God wants you. You, those of you who are familiar with the scriptures, you know the end of that story. You know what God is saying to us today as believers, as leaders of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? This is the hour. This is the moment. God is calling you back to himself. And I tell you, praise God, that this message, as I hear the Lord resonating, ringing, as this broadcast is going forth, as I could hear the voices of you guys out there in radio land, Jonas and the people of Nineveh, we want you to know today that the Lord has not changed. He's still the same. He has not changed. He is still calling men, women, boys, and girls to that place. And this is the mindset, and has always been the mindset of the Lord. And it says in the 11th verse of chapter 12 of Hebrews, he says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but not grievous. Nevertheless, that afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby." Verse 12 says of the 12th chapter of Hebrews, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." And then he says, "Follow peace with all men, for holiness without no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently," he says, "lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornication." Now God just goes on and talks about this thing. "A profane person, as Esau, for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." Brothers and sisters, don't sell your birthright today. Go ahead and receive your inheritance. And that's Pastor Robinson and I's encouragement to you today, that God is not angry at you as you think he is, but he loves you. And I can hear him calling you. Pastor, I can hear him calling. Down in my bosom. Down in my bosom, I can hear him calling. Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. He's calling you today. Friend, he's calling you. Preacher, he's calling you. Man, woman, boy, girl, he's calling you to himself. He's calling you to a higher place. He's calling you. He says, "Come up here. Come up here. Come to where I am," he said. I'm hearing him call today. Hallelujah. Out of the depths of his heart, he's calling. Out of the depth and the deeps of the depth of his love, out of the depths of his heart, He's calling you today. Answer the call. Answer the call.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us be one of those who heed the call of God.
Yes.
Let us be one of the clouds of witnesses to my sisters and brother, lay aside every weight as the scripture said, and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before you. Run. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us run, my sisters and brothers. Let us run in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Pastor, I tell you what. Right now, I just sense the presence of God, the presence of the Lord in my heart. And I pray that this anointing that I sense in my heart and you brought, you and I have come to sense in these last few moments, as I can sense it so greatly out there in the atmosphere, God calling and inviting those who have somewhere been wayward or somewhat have strayed away from the call, the very call that God has placed on your life. Courage is not the absence of fear. When Pastor Robinson said, be encouraged, courage is not the absence of fear. There's always going to be some fear involved in whatever you're dealing with, or else you wouldn't need to have any courage. And we want to tell you today, remove the fear. Everybody is acquainted with fear, but we don't have to be overtaken by fear. We don't have to be full of fear. We don't have to be fearful. So many occasions Jesus talked to his disciples and said, oh, ye of little faith, why did you fear? Why were you afraid? Why? He says, let's move the fear out of the way. God told Joshua, don't be afraid. Be of good courage. He's speaking to us. We want to encourage you today. I want to pray the prayer of faith with you. Father, I rebuke the spirit of fear. I bind and gag the spirit of fear and cast it into the abyss. I call down powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We dethrone fear from your life today. In the name of Jesus, and cast it down and replace that with the spirit of faith and courage. And we command courage to be enthroned in your life today so that you can carry out the thing that God has assigned to your life. And Pastor Robinson and I agree, we believe by faith today as we come to the close of this podcast, this broadcast, that you will receive the power and the anointing that God has placed in our lives for such a time as this, on the behalf of you as we intercede today, that you will receive what God has designated for you from the foundation of the earth. And as I go today, Pastor Robinson, is there anything else? Hallelujah.
I'd just thank like God to say you again, thank Pastor. You. Thank you, those who are listening and knowing. Thank you, Word Outreach International and the Days of Harvest Ministry, for your invite. I'm humbled to be here, and we look forward to seeing Pastor Dr. Jerry Robinson in Dothan, Alabama, amen, coming up in the third week of July. We're looking forward to him being in the midst of us July 23rd to the 25th.
16th, 17th, and 18th, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's the third Sunday now. You keep changing my date, Doc.
Okay.
It's the third week in July, 23rd, 24th, and 25th. You're going to be in Dothan, Alabama.
Okay.
And with those that are listening around the world, if you're in the South Alabama area, stop in at Alabama Avenue, Missionary Baptist Church. Dr. Robinson will be there with his crusade team, and we're looking forward to having a great time in the Lord. We are, again, humbled by this opportunity to be a part of this great broadcast. Local Radio Land, God bless you. God love you. God keep you is our prayer.
All right. God bless you. And we'll see you next week, same time, right here at Word Outreach International.